Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. And hey, we're road tripping today on the Larry Mueller Show. And I'm really looking forward to talking with our guests today. We're live from Fish Creek, and we're broadcasting from the Northern Sky Theater. Woo! And as you can tell, there is a very large audience to be with us today. It's great to see so many people in this wonderful theater, and it's great to have three guests to start the show today to talk about the theater. LaCrissa Granberry, a performer, playwright, and she's the NOVA program director, and we'll learn some more about that later. But LaCrissa, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, she is a large personality, I can tell you that. She has got a personality like you wouldn't believe. Doc Heidi is the artistic advisor, a co-founder of the company, and a playwright. And Doc, I saw you last night. You were wearing red long johns.
That's true.
In a play. And it's great to see you with kind of normal clothes on.
It's a relief to be wearing normal clothes.
With us as well, Jeff Herbst. Jeff, I saw last night as well, the artistic director of Northern Sky Theater. Jeff, thank you for joining in as well.
My pleasure, Larry.
So, I hope you'll join in with your questions. We're going to get some questions from the audience that are right here live and looking at me right now. But if you're listening in on the radio, you can certainly call in with your own questions or comments. What does it feel like to be in front of hundreds of people? Have you been involved in your own theater or plays? Are you wondering more about community theater? Maybe have questions about this year's lineup at Northern Sky Theater. We're certainly going to be talking about that as well. Whatever is on your mind, the number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Jeff, for people who've never been and who aren't here in the audience, obviously, right now, tell us about the Northern Sky Theater, its locations, and so forth.
Well, we have two theaters, actually. One is in Peninsula State Park, and performances out there in the park have been going on for now over 50 years. Northern Sky has been out there since 1990. And then we, in 2019, we opened up the Gould Theater, which is our indoor space, which is where we're broadcasting from today.
It's a beautiful space.
Oh, thanks, Larry. Yeah, we're proud of it. And it's a great place to have a home. We do all original programming at Northern Sky Theater, for those who don't know what we're up to. And what that means is everything is homegrown. We started out as a really kind of a nuclear company, and all of our material came from the people who were working together. We created the works, we acted in the works, we did everything, and it was a really small troupe. And then we started to expand. Unfortunately, we lost one of our seminal contributors, Fred Alley, way too young in 2001. But since then, we have recruited more writers, including LaCrissa Granberry, who's with us today, and we've kind of opened up the stable of writers so that we can get more material in, and that's what our continuing mission is to do all original programming. A lot of it, Larry, is reflective of Wisconsin culture, Wisconsin people, so it really has a lot of resonance, I think, for our audiences.
Oh, I would definitely agree with you on that. Doc, you've been around, I mean, you go way the heck back.
Oh, that's true, Larry. not quite as far back as you.
You're a co-founder at all.
I am, yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So, from your perspective, I mean, what caused you to want to start this up, and how do you feel about its growth over time?
Oh, gosh. Well, as you mentioned, I first got involved actually 51 years ago. What we now call Northern Sky, grew out of a project at the University of Wisconsin called the Heritage Ensemble. I was a college student and got involved. I was actually majoring in psychology, so it was kind of an avocation, but I loved it and continued with it. And then in 1990, the founder of the Heritage Ensemble, Dave Peterson, retired and gave the theater to a couple of us, and we reformulated it to have a focus more on what we call book musicals, which is shows that have characters and plot and so on. And it grew from a very, very tiny thing that originally charged 25 cents, 50 cents, I'm not quite sure, now is an enormous professional operation, and I feel absolutely delighted and greatly privileged to still be with it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you are, and I'm sure the rest of the company is as well. LaCrystal, let me turn to you. Tell us about your journey to eventually become a returning performer here at Northern Sky Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, is right.
I started in 2018 was my first season at Northern Sky, so I feel the youngest of these two legends here.
The rose between two thorns, for sure. Wow.
Larry said it, so it must be true. But I started in 2018, and I've been back now for the last seven seasons. This is my seventh season here, and I keep coming back because I like it. Kind of love it a little bit.
Yeah, and you've been, you, this wasn't just your first rodeo.
No. I mean, it was my first rodeo as a writer, though. I'll tell you that. My very first musical that I wrote, which was Sunflowered, along with Aida Pirzada and Alyssa Rohde, that was the first musical that I wrote, and it was here. And the second one is here. So now, you know, rodeo as a writer is real for LaCrystal at Northern Sky Theater.
And I did want to mention that your works here, and I think, Jeff, you mentioned it. You write and produce everything. And good friends with the folks at Peninsula, Players?
Oh, there's great rapport between all of the professional companies up here, for
sure.
Yeah,
so I think there are four, aren't
there? There are four, that's correct. Yep.
Yeah, so it's great that way. And back to LaCrystal for a minute, because I don't want to forget about it, because you're the director of NOVA, which is Nurturing Original Voices and Artists.
That is.
Did I get it right?
You got it right. Nurturing Original Voices and Artists. It's our incubator for the next generation of writers coming along. Northern Sky has been producing original works since forever, as Jeff and Doc just shared. And because we do that, Jeff and I had a conversation on a back porch, I don't know, probably 3 years ago.
It was during the pandemic, right?
It was. Mm-hmm. In the dead of winter. We sat outside, all the snow around us, and we talked about what does it look like to work with new writers who are both finding their voices, exploring their voices, and wanting to write stories but not knowing where to start, because I sort of did that here and had guidance from both Molly Rohde and Jeff Herbst on how to write a musical, and I was like, I think other people would want to do this and need that same sort of guidance, and And I would say you both were like, great, you do that, LaCrystal. And so it's been a joy to have a lot of writing circles, bringing in new writers, exploring their voices, being challenged in their writing, getting peer feedback from other writers, having a safe space.
Well, it's great. Ages of these folks at the
company? Oh, they span.
Yeah.
I mean, I think our youngest has really been a college student. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say the oldest, but the other has been another professional writer. Like the experience ranges from someone who has no experience to someone who has produced works. And the ages range the same way.
I mean, one of the things that works about having a writing circle is most people want deadlines, and you know, and so when you have the pressure of the next meeting and you've got to show some product, it just gives everybody a little bit of a little bit of motivation. So
yeah, we get motivated every day.
Yeah,
Another show starts at 11.
Right?
Tomorrow, Larry.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's just like that.
Just like that.
Well, here we are. We got six plays, right? Coming?
Yeah, right now we have four running. Yep.
Four running now.
That's correct.
Six total for the season, right?
Six total for the season, and then we'll do a holiday show as well.
And tell us what you've got.
Well, this summer out at the park, we're running three shows in repertory. One of them is an old standard for us. It's celebrating its 30th anniversary. That's the one you saw last night, Larry, called Belgians in Heaven, which Doc was one of the co-creators of, and he can talk more about that show and the prequel to that show called Hell's Belgians, which Doc and his fellow writer Lee Becker had been working on for a while because they wanted to expand the you know, the storytelling of those characters. And then the third show that's running in rep is called The Fisherman's Daughters, written by Katie Dahl. And that is a really interesting play because it's about the founding of Peninsula State Park, and it's taking place in Peninsula State Park. So it's really appropriate, and it's a beautiful show. So I encourage anybody to go out to see all of the shows at the theater in the park. That's in Peninsula State Park, and we are Monday through Saturday with eight shows a week. So it's a full load. And then in this theater where we're sitting right now, just a couple of days ago, we opened another world premiere. We're doing four of them this year, called Girls on Sand, which LaCrissa mentioned. Yes. Thank you.
Sounds like a lot of people in the audience.
Yeah, well, we're sitting on the set, which is super fun. LaCrissa and Molly are the two writers of the book and lyrics for that show, and they also appear in it. So they have a personal stake in that material, which is always a lot of fun to see. And Alyssa Rohde was the composer on that piece. So that's our summer lineup so far.
So that's a lot.
with more to come. Yeah.
What's that process like for selecting plays and actually, I mean, this has got, I mean, they're all original.
Right. Well, the process.
It's not going to be, Doc's not going to say, well, next year I'll write a piece on this, a play on this, or will you?
Not anymore. we used to. That's how it went in the early years. two or three of us were writing all the shows, and we just cranked them out.
Yeah. Well, it sort of depends, Larry. Some people have a longer incubation process for their, you know, for their creative endeavors. But for Girls on Sand, we fast-tracked, and these guys really wrote that show in about a year. It was maybe a little bit more than that, but it was approximately a year to get that one up and going, which is very unusual, extremely unusual. It usually is a process of a series of readings and then a series of workshops, if not one or two, that allow for us to get closer to the material and make sure that it's all working. And in terms of how do you choose a season of original material, you use your premiere, the world premiere, as sort of your anchor, and then you program around it so that you can do as much cross casting as possible so that you're maximizing contracts and all that kind of good financial stuff.
Yeah, what's the size of the company?
Boy, that's a good question. We have roughly, I'd say, 40 to 50, maybe 60 by the time we get everybody all Ooh. Hired for the summer and fall and the crossover. Yeah.
And a lot of times people are involved in more than one play, even at the same time?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. LaCrissa has been out at the park and been in all three shows at one time, I think.
I have. A couple years ago, I did the rep. And, I mean, last year I did both shows, mm-hmm. Fish Whisperer and Cheeseheads.
Right, right.
And this season even, right now we're doing Girls on Sand, which is the only show running indoor right now, but in a short 2 weeks, we'll start rehearsals for Reality Trip, which is our fall world premiere, and I will be doing shows at night and rehearsing during the day mm-hmm. for that. So it keeps going. The train never stops.
Never stops.
Train never stops. And it never stops here at Wisconsin Public Radio either. Larry Mueller here with our guest today from the Northern Sky Theater Company, Jeff Herbst, who is the artistic director. Doc Heide is the artistic advisor, co-founder. LaCrissa Granberry, a performer, playwright, and NOVA program director. Questions for them? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Or if you're in our live audience, you can just raise your hand and ask your questions as well. Larry Mueller here for WPR News. Great. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here with a live audience from the Northern Sky Theater in Fish Creek. It's great to have our three guests, Jeff Herbst, Doc Heide, and LaCrissa Granberry, talking about Northern Sky Theater and the plays and what goes on to put a production on. Questions for them? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. And we have a question from the audience. So let's go there.
Since so many of the plays have a Wisconsin or our local theme here, how many other times have those plays been performed, let's say, in New York or Washington? Do they get out around the country, or is it just here in Wisconsin that we love them?
We've had some of our productions play all over the country. Probably the one that's played the most that was homegrown here is Guys on Ice. That show has played, yeah. That show originated as a co-production between Northern Sky Theater and Milwaukee Repertory Theater, and it has since played in almost every state in the United States. And people, how many, I can tell that a lot of you have seen that show. It's very, the guys who are in it, the guys on ice who are in it, are huge Packer fans. And people always ask, well, how does that play in Texas, for instance? And I'm like, well, you know, everybody loves anybody who's obsessed about something, right? So I think they get it. They certainly appreciate the enthusiasm that the guys have for their homegrown team, that's for sure. We've had a lot of other productions, too. Of course, one of the things that we'd like to do is have more of our productions reach a larger audience. And one of the things that I've been working on, the pandemic sort of interrupted it, is an initiative called it's sort of the Non-Urban Theater Consortium. And the idea is that there are a lot of theater companies in this country, all over the place. You can go to Colorado, you know, in the summertime, and you can see theater that's very similar to what happens at Northern Sky, except they don't dedicate themselves to doing original musicals or original programming, but they're interested in it. And they know that their audiences could be interested in the same kind of material that we do. So I think there's a huge audience out there that just needs to get to know us. And because we're not published like in Samuel French, where you know you can just go pick out a play and pay the royalties, we have to find a way to make sure that our work gets seen, heard, and understood by other theater companies, and that it would be right for them.
Great question and great answer. Let's take another question from the audience.
I have actually a question and a comment. I'll ask the question first, and then I'll add my comment. I'm wondering, to the actors, how different it is preparing for the outdoor theater and inside, coming back and forth. There's got to be some differences, subtle and not so subtle. And secondly, my comment is 41 years ago, I performed of sorts on the theater in the park when I asked my wife to marry me there, and we got married.
I see you're sitting far apart from one another. That's not a
Oh, great. Thanks so much for that comment. Well, what about it?
I mean, sure, I'll start because this is my first summer season indoors instead of outdoors. And if you know me, you know that my answer is going to be the biggest difference is that there are no bugs inside. And I don't have to perform in the rain. And it's not cold one day and hot the next. But I will say, I do love performing indoors because of those things, but I do miss, the outdoors is just beautiful, and it's magical in a sense to look up and see the trees and the skies. I remember my very first year, we were in tech, and I liked to bullet journal, and I sat down, and I just found myself drawing the stage and the trees, and because there's something very soothing and magical about doing theater out there when a June bug isn't flying at your head.
Plus,
Jeff, go ahead.
LaCrissa doesn't get to perform with me this summer because I'm in the park and she's indoors and she misses me, you know, so much.
True.
Well, so what about the rain?
The rain?
You know, when it's raining on the outside, and people are there to watch.
Oh,
and they
for
got
sure.
They're not putting their umbrellas up because that'll block the person behind them.
Yeah. But well, Wisconsinites come prepared. You know, they almost everybody has rain gear, ponchos, hoods, whatever they need, and they do sit through the rain. I'll tell you, Larry, one of the most magical performances out there was when the rain just drizzled for the entire performance of a show called Victory Farm, which is set in World War II. It's about German POWs who were brought over to help do the cherry picking in the orchards. So it's a show that's got a lot of, you know, atmosphere anyway, but with that light drizzle of rain through the whole show, it just, you know, you can't manufacture that, right?
No, you can't. I want to turn to Doc here for a minute because, Doc, you are the co-author of Belgians in Heaven, which yes. was so much fun to watch last night. I laughed and the songs, great songs. How did that whole piece come about?
Well, Belgians was written about 30 years ago. I was teaching back then psychology out in California. I had a year sabbatical, so I had something to work on. I needed something to work on. My mother actually had gotten cancer, and so I was thinking a lot about mortality and the meaning of life. That was kind of in the background of my mind. And then one of the co-founders of the theater, Fred Alley, who Jeff mentioned, he was over at my house one morning in the spring of 93, and we had a little tiff. We got along really good. We were best friends, but that day he was irritated with me, and I went for a jog in the Berkeley Hills, and I had the thought, what if Fred and I had actually been reincarnated through eternity to learn to work out our differences together? So this thing, on the surface, it seemed like we were arguing, but maybe there was a deeper level in which we were sort of destined to learn to grow, to be closer, you know, as friends. And I thought, that's an interesting idea for a musical.
This is not the kind of idea that would come through my mind.
Right. And, you know, by the time I got done with my jog, I came home and wrote out most of the plot. I thought there should be a guardian angel. That would be interesting. And I thought it would be fun to write a role for Jeff as he plays the role of Henry, who is our handyman, who seems very simple on the surface, but turns out to be extremely deep. So I had the great advantage of writing the characters for people I knew, like Karen Moll, for example. I has an angelic quality in real life, so I wrote a character of the angel for her. And I saw the whole thing as just kind of a writing exercise. I'd never written a book musical before. So I thought, well, this would be an interesting challenge. And I just was shocked. I think we were all a little taken aback by the enormous response the show generated almost immediately. Hundreds of people were coming out. People came out in electrical storms. They were standing, lined up, 200 people, you know, as lightning was in the sky because they wanted to see the show. And one night I was approached by a woman after the show, and she said, I have terminal cancer, and I've been afraid of dying, but after seeing your show, I feel like I can pass on in peace. You know, wow. So there, you know, that's the kind of thing that you live for as a playwright, to have that kind of impact. So we were just delighted that the show had such an enormous impact.
And some great dad jokes to start the show, like,
right?
Kind of early on.
Yeah, there's a joke at the top of that show that I'd always loved, and I thought, you know, a great way to start the thing off would be to have a joke that is corny, so it will work either way. If people think it's funny, they'll laugh along, and if they don't think it's funny, they'll think it's funny that the character who's telling it thinks it's funny. So it works on multiple levels. And
the songs. Did you write the songs? I mean, the songs are great.
Thank you.
Songs.
Yeah.
And of course they're well performed, that which helps.
Thank you. Yeah, I wrote all the lyrics initially. I asked my friend Lee Becker to join us for a rewrite in 2006 or something, and he and I wrote one new song, and then Jimmy Kaplan wrote half the music. He and I were friends, and I asked him to join me in writing half the music. The most famous song in that show is Cheese Curds, Booyah, and Beer. A lot of people know that. I actually wrote that on a walk through Peninsula State Park, about a half an hour. It just came to me. and asked Jimmy to write a kind of a polka melody for it, and it turned out to be a big hit.
Yeah, cheese, booyah, and beer.
Yes.
And the I could tell that you have done that song together many times because yes. The choreography right. and so forth is just like perfect for right. every song.
That's become the song that maybe more than any song we've ever done in our theater history, people know and they will sing along at campfires and so on.
People were requesting t-shirts last night with cheese curds, booyah, and beer on it.
And we have them, by the way.
You yeah. do have them? Yeah.
We are selling t-shirts
see that
say cheese curds, booyah, and beer. In fact, we also have a beer this year.
Yes.
We produced our own beer, our Peach Barn Brewer did, so to honor the show.
Well, it was an absolute treat. And I would go back and see it, and I bet people see that more than once.
They do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We did a survey a few years ago, and we found that one out of every three people in the audience had seen the show before. They were coming back. And some people had seen it six times, eight times. There was one person that night who had seen it 20 times. So, yeah.
We back in the day, we made cassette tapes of the shows, you know, and yeah. Sold them. And it's not infrequent when we have someone come up and say, I wore out the tape. Is there going to be a CD or is it going to stream, you know?
Right.
Well, now you can still get it, though. You know, it's up to date these days. It's not on a tape, but it is.
I don't know. Do we have Belgians in Heaven in any other form? I maybe we do.
I don't think
we
so.
We have other albums, though.
Oh, we have a Sunflower.
Oh, yeah, we do have Sunflower, but yeah. we have an entire Apple Music page
yeah,
that
do.
Is Northern Sky.
That's true, LaCrissa.
You can find all of our streaming music, and this season, all four world premieres will have live cast albums.
That's right.
So you can still follow along in different formats, or you can buy the CD.
Ooh.
Yeah.
there you go. You know, the whole business about funding, I mean, we're sitting in the Gould Theater, Barb and Spencer Gould mm-hmm. were the lead donors for this, but raising money and Barb still here, mm-hmm. still very active mm-hmm. person in this, but it takes a lot of people, and you can't rely solely, I don't imagine, on theater tickets to...
No, that's right, Larry. You know, like most not-for-profits, especially artistic theater companies, you rely heavily on a donor base. You try to make that ratio be reasonable, and but there's no question that in order for us to do this, we count heavily on our donors, and they've been unbelievable. We had to shut down. We had to shut down when the pandemic came. Literally shut down.
Yeah.
And we quickly, as the word is, pivoted and did an extremely fun and I think really effective online season all of 2020. We generated more content. We were sort of like you know, like every day we were trying to come up with something that kept people engaged. And I think it helped immensely. It made people feel like they were still connected to us. And when we came back from the pandemic, people were like, we loved having your presence during, you know, that shutdown. So we were awfully grateful for our donors keeping us alive and for our doors having been shuttered, but not our creativity and certainly not our output.
Some emails, let's see, we had, someone wondered about Girls on Sand as a follow-up to your Guys on Ice, and that's, that the way it is there, it LaCrissa?
It is certainly inspired by Guys on Ice, following the same sort of format of these two friends in a place living and being existing. And so it is inspired by Guys on Ice, but it is not any sort of direct connection to it. However, it's a very fun show. If you've seen it already, you know that. It is a story of women friendship bonds and aging and health and goose poop and it's a lot of cahoots happening in that show. Took
set
a page
here.
Out of your book, jokes, whether you groan at them or laugh at them. Mm-hmm.
And set here.
And it's here.
Set here.
It's sat here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically set on the Door County Beach.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I was like, yeah, it's here. No. It is. I co-wrote the show with Molly Rohde, who I think we have that, well, we get the benefit of having a true friendship in real life and playing best friends on stage, but we also happen to go to Ephraim Beach a lot and live our best lives. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, let's take a question from the, or comment from the audience.
I just wanted to say I have a comment and a question. And my comment is, I cannot wait to see Girls on Sand. When I read that your whole premise is, or your beach rule is avoiding negativity. And I just feel like there's a miasma of negativity that can shroud us lately. And so I'm hoping to get some tips on that. But also, I'm wondering what inspired you to choose that surrounding the beach rule.
Oh, that's such a great question. Thank you for asking that. So as sort of a debrief after the day, because life be lifin', as someone once said, Rohde and I, Molly Rohde, after a show sometimes we would go to Ephraim Beach at night and we would play a song and we would dance. This is legit.
No, I know. I don't doubt you, Larissa.
We would play a song and we would dance and then we would find reasons to be grateful in spite of the day that is happening, in spite of the week that is happening, and share what are we grateful for today and hold on to sort of that. So the story has a lot about gratitude in it as well. You talk about no negativity. How do you negate negativity? You find reasons to be grateful. You choose joy instead. You choose happiness. You choose fun. And we did a lot of that, and a lot of that you'll see in the show. So that's how that came to be.
A great, great comment. Thank you so much for that comment and question. And let's take another, we have another question from the audience.
Yes, I have a comment and a question again. The comment is, we did see your opening performance the other night, and it was wonderfully done. Great story, really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it to everybody. And the question is, what's your process of going about selecting these actors?
Selecting the actors. You know, primarily what I have done as an artistic director for my now 34 years or whatever it's been, I like to work with the same people if they're available. And I believe strongly in because we can't have a year-round company, I want people to still feel like they have a seasonal company and that when they go away from here, they still feel connected. That's part of the reason I wanted to get Nova initiated, was to make sure that people could get buy-in to what the Northern Sky ethos is, and also what our work habits are. But primarily, we started as a company that was, like Doc said, was writing roles for one another. And that is also something that continues. People will still say, oh, I have this idea in mind, and obviously Doug Manchesky is going to play that role. So it's sort of, you know, it feeds off one another, really, in a lot of ways. Now, there are times when you have to go outside of the core company, as it were, to find somebody specific for a role, and then you bring somebody new in, which is also great because, you know, why not? And they add another voice. But primarily, frankly, over the course of this company's life, it's been a lot of people who have just come back year after year after year, for which I am eternally grateful, because I love having them back, and I love that people are writing roles for them.
Thank you so much for that question. Megan in Madison emailed to say they love the shows by Northern Sky Theater. Megan grew up watching the shows at Peninsula State Park while camping there every year, which I did as well. And Megan is excited Lumberjacks in Love will be playing in Milwaukee this winter. Could you kind of comment on that?
Yeah, Milwaukee Rep is bringing back Lumberjacks in Love. We did a production of it, Fred Alley, who was then still alive, in 2000. He and Jimmy kind of went back to the drawing boards, and they expanded the show some. They added a bunch of new material, and we first presented it down at Milwaukee Rep for a run there, and then brought it up to the park for the summer of 2000. Since then, we've done it a number of times, and it's come back around now to the Milwaukee rep wanting to do it down there. So it's going to be there, I think, for a three-month run, which is really terrific.
Which is great. Jeff Herbst, Doc Heidi, and LaCrissa Granberry, our guests today from Northern Sky Theater. I'm Larry Mueller. You can join in, too, with your questions. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or like some others have done, you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. We are broadcasting from the Northern Sky Theater in Fish Creek today with three guests. I'm Larry Mueller, by the way. Our guest, Jeff Herbst, Artistic Director of Northern Sky Theater. Doc Heidi is the artistic advisor and co-founder and playwright, and LaCrissa Granberry, a performer, playwright, and NOVA program director, and NOVA stands for Networking Original Voices, or Nurturing Original Voices and Artists. Great to have them along. Questions for them? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Doc, could you talk a little more about Hell's Belgians, which is actually a prequel?
Yes, it is. So right out of the gate, when we wrote Belgians in Heaven, as I was saying, it turned out to be this big hit. So people started saying, you should write a sequel to that. And it seemed logical, if you were going to write a sequel to a show called Belgians in Heaven, people said, well, you should write Belgians in Hell. And I was much more interested in heaven than I was in hell, I must say. My mother was a very devout person, and I was raised in a very, you know, devout household. And so I was much more interested in reading and learning about heaven than in hell. But we decided, well, we should go with, you know, explore that hell theme. What we decided to do after quite a few years of working, we've actually been working on it for 15 years now, we decided we would do a prequel rather than a sequel, because you know, Larry, having seen Belgians in Heaven last night, the plot gets a little complicated, and we didn't want to try to explain the plot of Belgians in Heaven in a sequel, because even the people in the show don't really understand it. It involves some really interesting ideas you just have to kind of float along with. And so we thought a prequel will be easier to write. We'll explain where these characters come from, and people who have seen Belgians in Heaven know, for example, there's a prominent character called Mildred the Chicken, and we thought, well, we can explain where Mildred the Chicken comes from. We also have this darling angel, Angelique, in the original show, and we finally decided to center the show on her and explain how she got into the Guardian Corps of Angels. And so even though the show is called Hell's Belgians, the centerpiece of the show is about how this angel gets her guardian wings. So we just wanted to take this opportunity to say, for any of you out there who are afraid of bringing your small children to a show that has hell in the title, it's not scary at all. Hell is only a small part of it. It really is focused on how the two brothers become closer and how this angel gets her wings and stuff like that.
Well, and I'm going to switch back to Belgians in Heaven for just a minute, because mm-hmm. when you mentioned chickens,
yes.
I was reminded of and it took me a second while I was watching, the chicken is clucking.
Yes.
And clucking in kind of cool ways.
Right.
And then I finally looked over sort of on the right side
right.
of
yes.
the, sort of off, almost off the set or offset.
Mm-hmm.
Is a guy over there doing that.
Right, there is.
And not just the chicken noises, but...
No!
No, I mean, all kinds of sound effects, and seagulls, and Lee Becker is one of the co-writers of that show. I always say to Lee, I couldn't do what Lee does over there.
No.
It's amazing.
It's brilliant.
It's amazing what he does with his voice.
Yeah, that's a convention we actually learned from the great Paul Sills, Larry. many people might know, Paul Sills was the founding director of the Second City in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we were very privileged to be able to work with him for many years. His mother, Viola Spolin, basically invented improvisational acting in America. And he taught it to Alan Arkin and Alan Alda and, you know, Valerie Harper and all these, you know, famous people, Mike Nichols, Elaine May. And he taught it to us. And one of the things he did in a show on Broadway was to have a character like that that's invisible, but is voiced by someone else on a microphone on the side of the stage. And I remember Paul telling me one time that he was able to get that show funded because a producer came to a preview and they were interacting with some invisible object, and he said, "I saw the object," you know, even though it wasn't there, but the actors convincingly portrayed an invisible object on stage, and then he came up with the money to put the show on Broadway. So I needed an antagonist in Belgians in Heaven, someone, I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but my character, Roger, ends up having a near-death experience in the show, and I needed someone to kill him, basically. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to have a chicken do it?
An invisible chicken.
Yes, exactly. I was actually driving and listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and the Garrison Keillor show came on, and he had some chicken character, you know, on the show that night, and I thought, that's a really funny animal character. So we came up with Mildred the Chicken, and people love him.
And how that worked on the stage was absolutely great.
Yes.
The chicken killing you.
Thank you, yes. He does an outstanding job of killing me, and that's how I end up in heaven, yes.
And Lee Becker came up through the Comedy Sports in Madison, I believe, that improv group.
He did.
As a matter of fact.
And he's a fellow Mount Horbite, too. Mount Horb, Wisconsin. Lee and I are both from Mount Horb, and so is Fred Alley. We have a little contingency. Dan Clare, too, who's also been with the company a long time. He's currently, I think, performing at Third Avenue Playhouse. Mm-hmm. There are a mess of us who...
I've got an email here, which I'm trying to get to. Oh, Kimberly emailed. He took a trip to Door County. It's a little story. A few years back when their children were 10 and 5, they went to the drive-in theater on the first night, which the kids loved and wanted to go back again. But their mom and dad had previously seen performances of Lumberjacks in Love and Guys on Ice, mm-hmm. and thought they were the funniest shows ever. The kids didn't want to go to some theater
right.
show, but they did, and they loved the experience, and they went back for more.
Yes, and that happens all the time. On any given night, there will be people in the audience who first came when they were children, and they are now coming as grandparents, bringing their kids and their grandkids to the show. We make all of our shows accessible for the entire family so that kids can come. And a show like Belgians in Heaven, for example, somebody reported to me they saw the little kids standing at a picnic table singing cheese curds, booyah, and beer, you know? So there's some enlightened metaphysical themes in the show, but they also appeal to four-year-olds.
Well, and I should mention that Joel Patnaud, one of our producers, is from Mount Horeb.
Oh.
As well. He's ensconced in an office somewhere here and taking calls as they come in. Wow. And you can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Before we take a call, LaCrissa, you're a playwright. How do you approach the process of creating a play? I mean, you told us a little about your experience, but... talk a bit more about that whole process.
Oh, boy, that's a loaded question. How do I approach the process of a play? Well, I'll tell you about this one. I think working here and being a part of Northern Sky, there is, it's its own place and culture. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like whenever I write for Northern Sky and want to write for our audiences, even Girls on Sand, it was... I don't know, in part wanting to give people something that they can enjoy and something that made their hearts feel all fuzzy, and something that had characters that you wouldn't forget or moments that you wouldn't forget. And so I take a good observation around for who I'm writing for. That's really the first thing I do.
Yeah, Jeff too?
Well, I'm not a writer, but certainly I encourage my writers to draw on stuff that is dear to them. I think that's the best way to write, you know, is to write something that you're passionate about, so that if it comes from them, I feel way more confident that it's going to happen than if I tell them what to write.
It's a true story, because you gave that advice to Writing Circle. Jeff came and met with our Writing Circle team this year, who was participating in the Nova Circle, and one of your pieces of advice was write from the heart. Write what's true to you, then it'll be good.
Somebody else is wanting to know, what is the most difficult situation you've been in on stage? And that could be, I'm not sure. I mean, I can think of all kinds of things that might happen.
I'll tell you, last night is the most present one in my mind. So Girls on Sand is a three-person show. There are three characters. However, two of us are on stage for about 90% of that show. Yeah. And we were about, I don't know, maybe two songs in, and I started to have a cough attack. And the kind where you lose your voice and tears are falling down your eyes. And I was like, oh my goodness, I have three or four more songs to sing before I can get off stage. And my dear scene partner said, drink some water. And I said, I am.
Yeah.
But that was, I feel like, one of my most ridiculous moments this season so far is I didn't know if I was going to recover. And then I had to get up and eat chips after that.
You know, yeah, go ahead.
Well, we have a lot of experiences out at the park. You know, over the years, we've had all kinds of disturbances and disruptions and planes flying over. And there are just times when you can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. So you just stop and you take it in. And the audience goes with you on any of those mishaps, as they were. I think that's part of the charm of live theater.
One time during Belgians, I remember it was raining, and I think Fred or you looked up and said, we really need to fix that hole in the roof.
Yeah. Well, who was telling me last night? Kelly Doherty, who's in Fisherman's Daughters, they performed the other night in the rain for the whole show, like I was describing with 50 Farm. And there was a night when it was extremely windy, and Katie Dahl, who wrote that show, the stage manager, Sean Galligan, counted up. There are 42 mentions of wind in that show, so the audience was with it, believe me.
And I can even remember one from last night.
Yes.
Tell that one, because that got a big laugh, actually. The way you handled it, Doc, was great.
Well, Kelly Doherty, who's playing the pre-incarnate version of the woman I'm in love with, and don't ask what that means. Anyway, I'm having a conversation with her in heaven, and she couldn't speak, and she ended up saying something about having a frog in her throat.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I said, I guess there's actually frogs in heaven. And then Becker began going ribbit on the mic.
Oh, that's good. So I saw Ryan sneak over from the orchestra pit with some water for Kelly during the scene.
At first I wondered if that was part of the scene, and then I saw somebody sneaking over with water for her. Because I knew she was probably going to have to sing again, too.
Right,
and,
yes.
And so exactly. I can understand that well. Well, you folks do a wonderful job.
Oh, thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
It was great to attend. I'll be attending many more down the road, and I want to thank the three of you for being with us today. It's
thank
been
you.
A great pleasure.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do this again.
Good.
Thank you so much. Jeff Herbst, artistic director. Doc Heidi, artistic advisor, co-founder. LaCrissa Granberry, performer, playwright, and Nova program director. Our guests to start the show. And coming up, we're going to be talking about the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, a bit about history and a bit about shipwrecks. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.